Happy Pride Month! This is your Divinely Queer host, Asa Laveau, letting you know that this episode and each one during Pride Month is brought to you by Queer Money Gang. Join now at queermoneygang.com. Hello, beautiful people. This is the Entrequeur-Newer Show with Asa Laveau. I am your divinely queer host, Asa Laveau, and I must say thank you, thank you, thank you for being willing to co-create another episode. And before I get into anything else, happy Pride. Let me just say that again. Happy Pride. Like, it's finally Pride Month. I say that with that level of enthusiasm because we have been through a lot to finally get to this particular point in time. Oh, it feels like such a journey that we collectively have been on to get to this moment. But I thank you for showing up consistently to co-create another episode. And if you are brand spanking new to the Entrequeur-Newer Show with Asa Laveau, and you're like, Asa, I don't get it. I just don't really, you know, get this whole Entrequeur-Newer thing. Like, what are you getting at? Well, let me just first say, because some people think that this is pandering to the queer community as though I am not a part of it. I am very much a part of the queer community. Luckily, gladly, and this space is for those individuals who desire to not take the queerness out of their business experience, but also do not desire to take the business out of their queer experience. This is the playground where you are able to successfully dive into both simultaneously. So that is the intent behind the Entrequeur-Newer Show. Also, shout out to the Queer Money Gang. You can find out more information about the Queer Money Gang in the show notes. But one thing about this show is at the core of the show are those queer-identified entrepreneurs that are just making it happen day after day after day. And this space is for you. That's why I decided to say yes to this possibility, because I desire to be a source for you. And one thing during this Pride celebration is, as you're, you know, possibly going to brunch, maybe even a physical, like in-person brunch, one thing that may be at the back of your mind is, wow, how am I gonna get my business to the level that I thought of when I first conceived the idea of the business? Like, how am I going to get more clients? How am I going to get repeat customers? And you know the answer. Like, you know the answer. The answer comes down to marketing. I often talk about the six pillars of a successful business, which are clarity, marketing, sales, operations, finance, and accountability. I'll say that again, just in case that went by a little bit too fast. Six pillars of a successful business are clarity, marketing, sales, operations, finance, and accountability. And marketing, of course, being so crucial to you getting to that level in your mind. Like, you know your business can get there, but you're just feeling a little stuck. Like, what in the world am I going to do? Well, guess what? I have somebody really dope, like verifiable dope, to make a difference for you for this time together that we have. And so without further ado, because let's just not waste any more time, you need this assistance and I desire for you to have it. Without further ado, I'm bringing to the virtual stage CJ Cruz. CJ, are you there?
I am here. Happy Pride, everyone. So excited
yes, indeed.
We can come here and celebrate Pride in person for many of us. I hope y'all are vaxxed and getting vaxxed, and if not, encourage yourself, your friends, your family to get vaccinated. But yeah, Asa, thank you so much for having this space and for choosing to be intentional about elevating others, other queer folks who are also entrepreneurs and embracing both of those identities. So thank you for having me.
Most welcome, and thank you for coming. And before we get into anything else, right quick, we at the Entrepreneur Show, we desire to normalize pronoun usage. So with that being said, what pronouns do you use?
Thank you for asking. I use he, him pronouns.
Thank you. And now that we understand how you identify, one thing that we can begin to understand a little bit more about you, like to the person who you actually are, we want to know what is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Ooh, that is a great question. And also a challenging one, because unfortunately, as someone who developed lactose intolerance over the years, I have missed ice cream a lot. Fortunately, there's new varieties and flavors, so I'm trying to test out alternative milk options. Still seeing if I'm a fan of oat milk-based ice cream, but my ultimate favorite flavor is taro or ube. There's this brand called Manoli Ice Cream. It's Filipino-based, Filipino-made, and, you know, I gotta represent my queer Pinoy pride and say ube ice cream is my favorite flavor of ice cream.
So I've never heard at all about this ube ice cream. What's it like?
Oh, you're gonna have to try it. If you're familiar, it's not taro, but it's similar. It's a deep purple, I want to say root-based plant, and they just make it into ice cream, into different cakes, into different, just different desserts. And it tastes, it's hard to describe how it tastes other than just glorious. So I'll have to send you some or find a place near you to get some and taste it.
So me being vegan, I actually have to go or choose to go to Dallas, Texas. They have a type of ice cream place that does not use dairy products.
What?
And they actually do some type of nitrogen freezing, like in front of you, where the entire place like has these bellows of smoke. From the nitrogen that they use to get you this non-dairy ice cream. And it's the most amazing thing ever.
Oh, I'm going
I
to
wanna
have
say
to
it's
go
in
there.
North Dallas, like Plano.
Okay.
Yeah, and when I say dope, yeah, amazing. And then your stomach doesn't hurt afterwards, which is just great.
Well, like the rest of the world, I'm moving to Austin later this fall. So North Dallas, Texas won't be too far of a drive for me coming
out. Not at all. Yeah, go you for Austin. Good choice. So as you were talking about the ice cream and you were talking about the different aspects of the ice cream that you liked, I was thinking that you likely, the way you were describing your favorite ice cream, that's how you instruct people to market their brands better with the use of language. Like you said, glorious. Like I haven't heard someone use that to describe something in a while. So how is that usually what you do when you are helping people with their marketing, is helping them use language?
In part, yes. And content-based marketing is very important, and how we frame and brand ourselves and our company is important. But ultimately, I like to think of marketing as a vehicle to help others. Whether you yourself are a solopreneur and have a brand, or you're trying to build a company, how you market best, in my opinion, is using this approach called people first marketing. I think as marketers and people in the industry overall, we've grown so accustomed to using digital tools, learning the best tips, tricks, and tactics to employ to try to get in front of people and kind of scream our message. But because we sometimes forget who it is we're trying to serve at the end of the day, we lose that human connection and instead try to overly rely on these tools and technologies to do that work for us. And I'd like, you know, overall as a marketing profession and people in general, I think we've learned the importance of connection, building trust, and building authentic relationships with the customers, clients, and people we serve. And how can we do that better?
So you brought up some really great points. And with everything that you ended with, like how do you, if someone's just now starting off, how do you do any of that?
Right, and that's a challenge. But I think what you said, is it going back to that first point, you said having clarity, having marketing, and then you went on with the sales, operations, finance, etc. And it starts with that clarity in your story and who you are and what your brand's values are. And then from that, identifying who you are really trying to serve and what issues and problems that they're facing and how your brand can help them solve their problems. And I know that sounds very basic and fundamental, but it's something we often lose sight of. We often lose sight of it because we're like, oh, we'll just run another Facebook campaign. Oh, we'll do another set of tweets. But it's important to remember who you are serving at the end of the day, because if you're able to understand and employ empathy in your marketing, you can have a brand and a message and a marketing plan that really resonates with that specific group of what we call personas.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about providing empathy in your marketing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bulk of what I'm seeing in the queer identified space are those entrepreneurs who are saying, you know what, representation matters. And so I desire to create a queer-centered line. It could be a queer-centered line of cakes or a line of baby clothes or a line of swimwear, but something that's queer-centered.
Mm-hmm.
How does someone enact or inject empathy in their marketing? Is that just trying to understand the customer better or more, or even deeper than that?
I believe it's getting to know your customers. So literally taking the time to interview and have conversations with people who could be your potential customers and ask them questions. What problems are they trying to face, and how what are the issues? Like, if you're trying to solve a problem, if your company solves, let's say you're taking, I had this random idea of like wedding rings, you know, for queer couples. Like, they're mm-hmm. such a heteronormative, you know, heteronormative experience in the ring shopping that often leaves us as queer folk out of that process. Like, we can do it, but sometimes that just doesn't fit how we want to shop and how we want to go about buying rings. And for the record, I'm single, I'm not engaged, so I'm half making this up as I go along. But being able to have conversations with, for example, queer couples who are getting engaged or who are getting married and going through that ring purchase process, which is a huge deal and a very expensive ordeal, but having those conversations and saying, oh, what are the challenges you're trying to face? Who are you going to? What stores are you exploring? What are the gaps in your experience in that ring buying process? And then if that's your company and if that's your target market, being able to say, okay, we see these experience gaps. How could we then fill it? And then when we market our product and create a product that solves that particular issue, whether it's matching wedding bands or wedding bands that, you know, are, you know, rainbow color, I don't know, whatever wedding type bands we want, going back and saying, okay, how can we then like insert our product into that customer's narrative and that person's story? Because when you're able to be a part of someone else's story, whether it's your own brand, your own product, and help them on their journey and their experience, that's when you win. It's less saying, hi, we have these amazing bands come buy from us. It's more like, hey, we see that you're struggling with this in your journey, and here's something that could help alleviate or address that problem. Want to learn more? Something like that.
Yes. And so for those of you who are listening to this and what you just heard TJ say, don't take that lightly. Do not take asking, and like seriously asking the people that you have identified as your target market, asking them those questions so that you can have feedback, so you're just not making things up because it's something that you want to see in the market that may not be connecting to them. Is that correct, CJ?
Correct. That is correct. And not only that, then you're able to identify like potential other, in the B2B space, we say use cases for your product. Or you could find other potentially tangent markets and ideal customer profiles, personas, ICPs, that your product or service can help. And that's when you're like, you get insights yourself just because you're really able to choose your people that you're serving first and employ empathy and ask questions to get to that level of understanding.
Got it. Makes total sense. And thank you for that. Now, hearing you talk about marketing, I have to ask, what in the world made you want to take that particular area of expertise to go forward in? Were you like a little kid that was trying to market a lemonade stand of a friend? Or is that something that you just through the course of the different things you've been a part of just came out naturally?
Well, it was a journey. So my background is actually in economics. And my first job out of college was underwriting. So I looked at a lot of financial documents and tax returns and things like that. And it wasn't really speaking to me. But now that you ask that, especially with that very focused question, looking back, I did do that as a kid. I actually hired, quote unquote, my brothers. And what we would do is we would go to Costco. And anytime we got the coupon for, we saw that there was a sale for the 30-pack M&M's, candy bars, or whatever, we would go and buy that with our savings. And then we lived in a little community, and there was a basketball court. And we would go and sell M&M's and other candies to the other kids in our community. And perhaps there's always just been like that entrepreneurial marketing spirit within me, and that arrived later on in my career. So I fell into marketing after that underwriting experience. A friend of mine reached out and said, oh, hey, I have a project. Can you help? And then that evolved into forming and growing a marketing agency where we worked on a lot of SEO marketing, a lot of affiliate marketing, a lot of e-commerce marketing. So if any of y'all need help with any of those, I know how to do that and built it from the ground up. But then transitioned more recently into the B2B marketing space and the longer buying cycles, just because I was curious and wanted to see what a different type of marketing looked like.
Mm-hmm. And I can definitely imagine a little CJ on a court of candy thinking in his mind, okay, how can we market this better to have the kids come faster? I can totally envision that. And as you are doing everything you're doing now with marketing, what is something about the industry that you're in now that totally ignites you? Something, a part of marketing that just gets you going. What would that be?
Yeah, I think for me personally, I see a lot of shifts happening in marketing. Their tools and technology is constantly evolving, especially nowadays with the introduction of artificial intelligence and AI and the conversation about the lines of marketing ethics and how much information is too much information and how do marketers utilize information. And there's a lot of conversation around that, that from a kind of meta perspective, makes me curious. And then similarly, and perhaps more importantly to me, is the representation within the marketing industry. A lot of the times I see and look around at other marketers. I currently run a couple of marketing groups, and it's interesting to see who are the people behind the campaigns that we see in the world. If we are as marketers are putting out forth an ideal world where our brand and our product are highlighted, I think it's important to have that conversation of like, who are the people designing and creating those campaigns? Who are the people choosing and influencing what is painted as that ideal world and ideal narrative? Because without representation from all people, then it's just, you know, it's a perpetuation of perhaps social norms that we're trying to break. And so I kind of see that conversation and that space as an opportunity for me to help elevate others who are queer, people of color in marketing, and help make sure that they have a seat at the table or that their voice is heard. And also to just kind of, sometimes it's calling out truth to power and saying, hey, this is great, but where am I? Where are we in this campaign? Where are we in this representation? And I think a lot of companies, the company I work for currently does this very well. We're very thoughtful about who's represented in our campaigns. But I think as a broader industry, that conversation is just starting and needs to accelerate in order for us to feel like we have a voice, we have a seat at a table, and we can be a part of painting what that quote-unquote like ideal marketed world looks like.
Got it. And you mentioned a couple of times about who the people are behind the campaigns. And when you said that, in my mind, I was thinking about, you know, large corporations. Mm-hmm. Having, they hire outside marketing agencies and marketing talent. And when it comes to the quote unquote solopreneur, the entrepreneur who's just now starting out, are you someone that believes that every entrepreneur is in fact a marketer, almost like an implied task? Or are you kind of like someone who's a purist and like, no, you are an entrepreneur and you are not a marketer, However, you need to go find a marketing specialist to assist you. So which side of the coin are you on in that regard?
This is going to sound very millennial of me, but I don't necessarily need the label to fit. So I would probably lean more towards that first side, where entrepreneurs are marketers by nature, because entrepreneurs have a vision and they're trying to make their vision come to life. And you can't do that inside your head. And the moment that you speak it out into the world, that you create a product, I think by default, you are in a way a marketer. Because you are trying to market your vision, whether that's in the form of a product or a service, to someone else. And I think that's intertwined. That said, I do think that there are more of those like technical aspects of marketing, or that marketing strategy, that can help complement to bring that vision not only to fruition, but to spread that message effectively to the right people at the right time. And that's where I would say having a marketing strategist can help accelerate that vision that your brand represents.
Yes, and I figured that you would go down that particular route, and that's why I asked the question. And another reason why I asked the question, because I'm always thinking about the person that's on the other side of this conversation, that's listening and co-creating this episode with us. And I want my desire is to make sure that they understand that though we're talking and talking about different terminologies, that it's important that they not feel totally abandoned just because there's jargon they may not understand yet, because at the end of the day, right now, they are the chief officer of everything. Because when you first start out, you're not necessarily the CEO, you're the COE, chief of everything. And that is something that you have to remember. And so that's why this conversation is so important, and also why the possibility of them connecting to you is so important. And with that being said, what is it like? What can someone expect when they work with you in the marketing arena?
Well, first of all, I want to touch on that first point that you said about that CEOE, Chief Executive Officer of Everything. And honestly, to the queerpreneurs who are listening to this, I applaud you tremendously, because the journey that you have taken and that you are on to get to where you are at is admirable. So I hope that you take a moment, even as you're listening to this, to just take a moment to pause and reflect on where you've come along this journey and where you are now, and just honor that and celebrate it, because it's hard work. And going back really quickly to that earlier story about the Costco candy, that, you know, that failed. We ended up having, I think my brothers or I ended up eating more candy than we sold. So that didn't work out.
Sounds about right.
But, you know, the fact that you're choosing to be on this entrepreneurship journey is admirable. It is not easy. It is not something that people are just like, oh yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. Because oftentimes, being an entrepreneur, not only are you the CEOE of everything, but it encapsulates your being. Like, you live and you breathe the company, the brand, the vision that you're trying to sell and promote into the world. And it takes a lot of energy and time. So kudos to y'all who are on that. And now I completely forgot what you were asking.
What's it like to work with you?
So what is it like to work with me? I try to practice what I preach. So I enter conversation just trying to get to know you and where you are on your journey. Whether you're just starting out and you just need help thinking through some strategies, or you're a full-fledged, you have a website, you have a product line, and you're just looking to level up that that market opportunity and market share, I always employ the same. I start off the same way, just saying, "Hi, who are you?" And let's just have a conversation and connect and see where that evolves naturally. And even if it doesn't make sense to work together, then that's okay too, because we're here on this journey to help. And I love how you mentioned the phrase co-create, but we're here to help each other co-create a world where queer entrepreneurs are successful and can thrive. And how do we build a community that supports that? So whether it's something I could help anyway in marketing or open up my network to any of y'all, I'm more than happy to do so. Just connect.
And that's most appreciated. And before we end this session, one thing that definitely interests me with everybody that I talk to, I always want to know, what's one memory that comes to your mind first when working with someone in the past, as far as a client or a project that you were on in regards to marketing, where you had an aha moment or the client had an aha moment and it just turned the trajectory of everything?
What's an aha moment when working with someone in the past? Mm-hmm.
So for instance, do you remember someone that didn't really believe in the process, and then throughout the actual process, they did? Or finding someone who was just almost ready to give up, and as a result of working with you, chose not to?
Yeah, I mean, I think that happens whether it's through this marketing consulting or just life in general. I find that when you authentically connect with people as people and not just as a, oh, here's what I can do for you, here's what you could do for me, those moments just naturally happen. And those insights, I find personally, happen especially when you enter these type of conversations and relationships. Even this conversation with you, Asa, with that intentionality of what are my values and how do I want to live out my mission. And people often ask, oh, what does CJ stand for? And I joke and I say, oh, it stands for create joy. It doesn't, it's Christian James, but like, by speaking that mission of like, my mission is to create joy, I find these moments of insight and aha, because you're able to enter a space of a conversation full of generosity, abundance, authenticity, and you're not looking for that, oh, what can I get out of this? And you're always adding value first. And I think, I can't think of a specific example right now, but I've had a lot of conversations in the past few days with different entrepreneurs. And even if it's just like saying, hey, you're about to launch a new product, I'm so happy to be on your pre-order list. You're about to, you just launched a product on Amazon, I'm happy to purchase it and write a review. So I think if we collectively as a community can do that for each other and help each other celebrate, then we're able to continue to perpetuate that motion forward and help elevate all of us as entrepreneurs to a better place.
Thank you for that. And my last question before we wrap this up is, because I'm very intimate with the idea of the person that's taking in this episode and wondering where they are, a great possibility, because of the feedback that I've received, is that so many entrepreneurs feel as though they're just scared of allowing their queerness to be visible as they market their products, goods, or services. And in your experience, what would you have to say to them as they do their best to manage and or eradicate that fear?
First, that feeling of feeling scared is valid. It is a very valid and often felt feeling by many of us. Even choosing to be out in a workplace, I had to first identify, is this a safe space for me where I could be my authentic self and feel a sense of belonging, inclusiveness, and where I can bring my full self, my full beautiful queer self into this space to create amazing campaigns. And so feeling scared about letting your queerness be visible, it's a real feeling. And I can't say, oh, you need to just get over it, or, oh, you just need to like do it. Because for each one of us, where we are on our own journey of coming to understand our own self, as both a queer person and as an entrepreneur, is something that we have to take in stride one day, one step at a time. However, I would encourage all of you to seek a community where you can be part of that journey, not just by yourself, with other people. I would say, you have the QMG. Is that what it is, Asa? Like, join the QMG,
the Queer Money Gang.
Queer Money Gang. Find spaces of community where you could just be open and transparent about these feelings of being scared, because they are legitimate, they are real. And the only way we kind of can get past that is by helping one another and by being that space where we could say, yes, you feel scared, but we're here to help support you. Yes, you feel scared about showing your queerness in and making that visible in your business, but as many as there are detractors, there are even more people, and I think the tide's turning, and it has turned, especially we'll see like during Pride. Like, we see all these big corporations and companies celebrating Pride, and sure, yes, there might be issues on that conversation with that capitalism, but there are people who are here to support and cheerlead you on. So let your queerness show if you feel comfortable to do so, but at the same time, it's a journey and it's a space. So let's just all help each other get to a place where we don't have to feel scared. Let's build a world together and co-create a world where we can be brave, where we can be bold, where we can allow our queerness to be fully visible and celebrated. Because when we help each other build that world, like, we're just off for the better for ourselves, our businesses, and future queerpreneurs.
Perfect. Perfect way to end this session, CJ. Thank you for being a resource. Thank you for being a light. Thank you for being willing to uphold your name, creating joy wherever you go. For those of you who are listening and you would like to connect with CJ, and let me just say this, if you're thinking about connecting with CJ, how about this? How about you stop thinking and just head to the show notes and just follow the man, like follow him, connect with him, reach out. You know you over there struggling with marketing. Don't act like you're not struggling. And there's no point of just struggling by yourself. You don't, everything is, I say, figure outable. Yes, it is. However, you don't have to always do things alone. So connect with him, find out how you can possibly work with him. All the ways that you can do that are in the show notes. So if you're driving right now and you're thinking I'm going to bombard you with a bunch of things to write down right now, keep driving, keep driving. Just go to the show notes and all the information is there. CJ, thank you so much again for being available and being willing. And to everyone else, please enjoy Pride Month. And as always, I am Asa Laveau. Dreams and blessings.